We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Kansas City Chiefs are undefeated, but we thought that would happen. Now, the Kansas Jayhawks, the football team, are undefeated. And I have everything that you need to know about that right here on the Best of Everything presented by Charlie Hustle.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
The Kansas City Chiefs are 2-0, but they just had a very short week coming home to face the Chargers on Thursday night. They were banged up, some injuries, and the Chiefs still came out with a win, but it wasn't the prettiest game. And there's a lot of rookies, and the guys in 101 talked about that this week and how a game like this can actually be a good thing for rookies and kind of a silver lining. So Jeff Allen and Mike DeVito sat down to talk about why it might be kind of a game changer for the Chiefs, for them to have a game like this to kind of, you know, let the rookies know that you can't take plays off just because you're the Chiefs and you're supposed to win these games.
Silver lining to this. We talked about how the roster has a lot of young guys on it.
Yeah.
These games can be really helpful in driving home the point that just because you have Pat Mahomes and Kelce and all that stuff doesn't mean the little things don't matter. Doesn't mean that every week you're just going to go in and the team's going to roll over and you're going to win by 50. So this is also a nice sort of wake-up call. I mean, it's a win against a tough team. Again, I fall into the same trap. But it's a good reminder to the young guys that you can't let the foot off the gas.
Yeah.
Like, there can't be sort of, throwaway practices and mental errors, and like everything still has to be perfect. Nothing's going to be handed to you. And so I was thinking about that, like, oh, you know what, for the young guys, this is also a good learning thing for them to realize, oh yeah, no, we got to work.
Definitely. You learn way more from your failures than you do your success.
Exactly.
And although we won that game, there's a lot of things that we can fix. And that's the best way to figure out what you need to fix is in close games where you've missed some plays, where you had some mistakes. Things that you can control. And even in a loss, like, those can sometimes be the best moments in the season.
Yeah, no doubt. And I remember, like, the 2013 season, we went 9-0, and practice is slipping off. Finally, we get woken up with the loss. You know, it's like, yeah. Oh, wait, wow, it's not going to happen. So it's good to do that in a close win than a loss. So, and it's good to do that early in the season where guys know, okay, yeah, let's get back on it.
And we're going to lose a game this year. I mean, statistics say that. I mean, obviously we want to win everyone,
right?
But someone's going to get us and we're going to learn from it and it's going to make us better.
Right. Get that. The goal for this year, healthy and getting that first round bye. Right. I mean, that's the focus right now. Get that. That is premium. Get that first round bye, keep the guys healthy. But right. Chances are you're going to lose a game. That's true. Again, two teams in the history of the NFL have done it in the regular season. And one of them didn't win the Super Bowl. So it doesn't matter. The other team won the Super Bowl, right?
The Dolphins won the Super Bowl. That's why they're still deemed the greatest. And they were really excited to see the Patriots losing.
I was excited too. I remember being excited. Oh, man. All right. So quickly about the game. I know all our other shows on KCSN Network are recap the game, talked about it. They're going to give you in-depth analysis. It's amazing as a player to watch these guys talk about it because I'm like, damn, I didn't get any of that stuff. How do these guys know the game better than I do? We have a solid lineup here. I did want to tell you, though, Jeff, what we talked about or ask you. We did talk about this on the last episode. You know, you got Khalil Mack and Bosa going into this game. How does an offensive line prepare for those guys? One sack.
Yeah.
The O-line gave up one sack, man. Give me your breakdown. How'd they get it done, man?
You didn't hear too much about those guys during that game. They just did a good job schematically. I think Coach EB, Coach Reed, Nagy, all those offensive guys had a really good game plan. Patrick wasn't holding the ball very long. He did a really good job of having good pocket presence and moving around when he needed to and stepping up and doing those all types of things. And we were physical. We ran the ball a little bit more than we normally do. That first drive, we ran the ball three straight plays. Beautiful. To open the game, which is beautiful. I think it set the tone and it got those guys on the other side like, hey, they were ready to pass rush, but wait a minute, this isn't
what happened.
Running the ball. So just to see that and to see just the physicality of it, it probably discouraged them.
Speaking of another team that is undefeated and no one would have thought it, is the Kansas Jayhawks. They are 3-0 and they have sold out the tickets for this week's home game against Duke. Now, on Booth Review, the guys talked about how this is actually kind of a measuring stick game for Kansas. Are they the real deal? Is this the Kansas team that everyone has been waiting for years to come?
This is kind of a game to me. You called it a measuring stick game. This to me is the first real game where Kansas needs to take care of business. And like getting into 14-0 holes, finding their way out of it, it's not something that's going to fly in Big 12 play. It might fly in this game because I think Kansas is better than Duke. But this is a huge moment for the program. First, to take it seriously, to not read into their own hype, to not read in to, you know, being a 10-point favorite in this game, which you would think wouldn't be a problem, especially under Lance Leipold. But I'm here to tell you past Kansas teams have absolutely done that, which might shock you given that they weren't winning games. It's a huge game just for the team's mentality to see how they come up, how they prepare. And also, like, I want to see Kansas be dominant start to finish. This game has a 7, 8, 9-point line. The Kansas that we saw against Houston, that Kansas beats this Duke team by 25. Like, and does it easily, and it's not a game. And I'm very curious if Kansas can do that. I'm not necessarily expecting that. I actually kind of expect this to be a little bit closer. But this is a chance for Kansas to firmly plant its flag and say, yeah, this is a legitimate team. It's not finishing at the bottom of the Big 12. This team is winning more games this year. This team is going to probably end up bowl eligible. And oh, by the way, everyone's coming back on next year's team, including the quarterback. And if the coach does come back, this team's going to be a whole lot better next year too.
I don't even want to get started on what 2023 could bring. Do not get me started, Scott. I've already been dreaming a little bit because of the ors on this roster, 50 of 56 people on the two deep can come back. Mm-hmm. And you've got scholarships to offer in the transfer portal. And you've got an entire freshman class that has, you know, developed. Don't let me dream, Scott.
Isn't this exciting, though? Isn't it exciting to be in this position?
Yeah, but I think there's a little bit of fear of Lance Leipold. Like, you know, there's a little bit of fear of Lance. I know he came out on Ryan Lee's podcast and kind of talked a little bit and gave a little bit better, you know, a little bit more warm, fuzzy feelings. Probably towed the line as best as he could. His parent, you know, him and his wife want to, you know, this could be their last stop. Kind of hinting, but I think the second Nebraska calls, that might change.
Hey, sorry to interrupt this podcast, but I've got to tell you about our friends at Liquid Death. You may start noticing that there are strange tall boys of beer in the bottled water section of your local store. Well, fear not, it's not actually beer. It really is mountain spring water from the Alps, and it's called Liquid Death. Liquid Death. Why is it called Liquid Death, you're asking me? Well, it's because it'll brutally murder your thirst. That's what it says here on my sheet. And their infinitely recyclable Tallboy cans are helping bring death to plastic bottles, something that you just absolutely love to see. They also donate 10% of their profits from every can sold to help kill plastic pollution. Love to see that as well. So this is what you got to do. You got to go to Liquid Death and find it at your local Woodman's, 7-Eleven, Roundy's, or Hy-Vee. I go to the Hy-Vee gas by my house here. I see it everywhere. Good stuff. It's in sparkling water. It's in just regular water. You can find it anywhere. At Hy-Vee specifically is where I get it. Or you can go to Liquid Death and find a retailer using their store locator tool at liquiddeath.com/KCSN. That's liquiddeath.com/KCSN.
Kansas obviously has a lot going on and hopefully a coach that will stay for a while. But speaking of people staying, people leaving, the Chiefs, unfortunately, will be without Willie Gay, their linebacker, for 4 weeks due to a NFL suspension. So what does that mean for the Chiefs and who is going to step up and fill that void in the defense? Well, in KC Laboratory, they talked about it, and if you look at the stats of Willie Gay, it doesn't look like he does all that much in the Chiefs defense. You know, his PFF ranking isn't necessarily the best of the best, but as a Chiefs fan, and if you've watched the Chiefs games, you will understand why this is such a big blow to the Chiefs defense to lose Willie Gay for 4 weeks. Now, I do think that they will be able to recover. They will be able to manage it 4 weeks without Gay, but it is a loss that will be felt.
So this is the big thing. I think if you have a lot of people that haven't paid attention to Willie Gay or they haven't watched every Chiefs game, they're going to go figure out where they can find stats and see what they say. And they are bad. He's had 17 targets this year for 16 catches, according to PFF. And I don't even know if that's wrong because the Chiefs have played so much zone in which they are throwing the ball underneath. Yeah, and he just happens to be the closest guy because he's the only guy that can run on that in that area of the field. Like, he's the fastest guy, so he's the first one there. I'm not saying that he's covering bad. It's just you go look at the stats, they're bad. You look at the missed tackles, they're bad. The yards given up, pretty bad. His PFF grade for, you know, take it with a grain of salt or for whatever value you put into it is really bad. But you watch this Chiefs defense, number 50 is everywhere. Like, he's doing things that nobody else on this defense can. A lot of these run plays that people are highlighting other defensive linemen for making great plays, yes, yes, they are. Willie Gay's resetting the line of scrimmage on a lot of these. He's not always making the play, but he's pushing a tight end or a tackle into the backfield and forcing a runner to change direction. You look at some of these throwback screens, some of these trick plays, there's one guy that's going over there to chase it down. And yeah, he might be missing the tackle, but without him there or somebody getting there slower, you don't miss a tackle. You just give up a huge play. So, like, I think you're going to see a huge step back in the Chiefs' defensive just overall speed. I think the whole defensive team speed is going to look a lot slower without them out there. I don't think that Elijah Lee and Nick Bolton are going to be able to replicate that. I don't think Brian Cook right now, if he steps into some of these roles for coverage, is going to be able to replicate that. Defense is going to look slower for the next 4 weeks. They really are. That's going to be the biggest change. And I'm interested to see how Steve Spagnuolo adapts because, like Craig said, Willie's playing slot. He's up to 20 snaps almost playing as a slot defender. As a slot defender, as a linebacker, and this is against receivers, tight ends, whoever, that's a lot. And he still has so much range from there. So, like, we could probably talk about Willie Gay all day. It's like, we don't need to here, but he's definitely his loss, I think, is going to be felt. And no more than just the speed on the field is about to take a significant step back.
I do. Before I toss it to you, Kent, I do want to throw this out there. Nick Bolton's stop on third down, it was a gain of zero from the Thursday night game. I think everybody remembers right there at the end. Nick Bolton plays that very, very well. Willie Gay drives Rashawn Slater 3 or 4 yards into the backfield, and Justin Reed sets the edge off of a blocking tight end. Those two made the play. Now, Nick Bolton does an awesome job reading it, stuffing him in the hole. You know, all kudos to him, but it's made by Willie Gay taking one of the best left tackles in the league for a ride and resetting the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, it's happening often. It's happening out of frame and stuff like that. We're going to talk about that. Mike and DJ and I are going to talk about that later this week. But it's, I mean, he's been so fun to watch. I'm going to miss him for the next four.
While you won't be able to watch Willie Gay for a few weeks, you can watch the pre- and post-game show in Aggieville. Kansas City Sports Network is going to Aggieville to have a pre and post game show this week as K-State plays Oklahoma. The 3 Mile podcast will be there. Kansas City Sports Network will be there. So tune in. You can go stop by. There'll be drink specials there. Definitely check it out if you're in Aggieville. But K-State playing Oklahoma this week. Most people did not pick them to defeat Oklahoma. But the guys on 3 Mile, they actually chose K-State to defeat Oklahoma in their preseason predictions. So obviously they can go into the game and come out with a huge victory and be 3-1 going into, you know, week 5. Or they can come out of the game and be 2-2. So what are fans really thinking that this game against Oklahoma is going to be like?
So you think they have to beat Oklahoma?
To achieve what we wanted at the beginning of this year.
Well, yes. To be fair, I mean, we all picked Kansas State to beat Oklahoma, right, in our preseason prediction. But I think the majority of people would probably have pegged the OU game as a loss when they went through the predictions, even when they thought this was going to be a 9-plus win season. So they can lose to Oklahoma and still rattle off a bunch of wins. Big 12 is wide open. They got to look a lot better in losing to Oklahoma.
If they lose,
they're wide open, but there is nothing guaranteed on that schedule. You think they're just going to roll the ball out there and beat Texas Tech?
That's what I'm saying.
Kansas looks like they would roll K-State right now.
If they were
they win that game by 3 touchdowns.
If they were to fall against Oklahoma and the offense still showed no signs of life, then I would think you worry about a confidence issue and within the team. And we've seen confidence in college football plays a big part. Probably something that we understate. Probably as media in general, but if you maybe the offense has signs of life and they feel like they get into a groove, they feel better about themselves heading into that. They need to win that. I still kind of feel that way. But even more than that, you really do worry about the direction of the season if the offense doesn't show signs of life.
Well, we know the culture is strong in the locker room from what they've said, but what I would worry about is a defense versus offense in the locker room, right? If the struggles continue, I know they have good leaders, but if the defense continues to be put in bad situations and the offense just can't produce, I don't know if they'll be infighting or anything, but it could be problematic.
And the reason why they need Adrian is because they need another playmaker to step up, and he's probably the most likely one because of his dynamic athleticism and with his arms and his legs. Because teams only have to worry about Deuce Vaughn. I even said this in my article after the game. It's, you know, the Kansas State offense was like on Saturday was like, we're hoping and praying that Deuce Vaughn gets loose and busts a big one, and that's the way we'll win. That never came. That's why they lost.
Speaking of the offense, and you know, K-State has been using Deuce Vaughn a lot right now. We are so lucky in Kansas City to have the Kansas City Chiefs offense and the number of talented individuals that are on the offense that Mahomes can throw to, Mahomes can hand the ball off to. There are just so many guys making so many different plays. Well, Matt Castle sat down with Matt Hamilton this week to talk about the Chiefs offense and why Mahomes is so special. On the breakdown this week, they broke down some plays the Chiefs offense had and how it was so great. What makes Patrick Mahomes so special?
You know what I love about this play is because this defensive structure, and it's particularly the front, is unique. You don't see this very often. You see there's 4 down linemen, but there's 3. It's an overload front. You've got 3 defensive linemen down here at the bottom of the screen, and then you've got 2 linebackers mugged up in your B and C gap. Immediately, look, this puts a lot of stress in terms of the communication and how to handle this, because you don't know which one of those guys are a threat to rush, because both of those guys have the ability to blitz at that time. But I thought they did a remarkable job here. And also accounting, like you said, for these guys, Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, these guys are elite pass rushers. So what do? They bring Kelsey in, and they also have Juju Smith there that gives body presence. So when Kelsey comes in, look at his release pattern. A lot of times you're going to take the path of least resistance, right, which is go outside Bosa. But no, I love the play design because he inside releases. What does that do? It just gives a little bit of hesitation to Bosa. Is he going to crack me? Is he going to hit me? So he's not screaming off the ball. And the same thing with Juju Smith-Schuster. He sits there, gives body presence, kind of acts like he's going to get his hands on him just to give Khalil Mack something else to think about, so he can't just pin his ears back and run around the edge like he would if he didn't have that guy there. So that really set up the protection scheme. And then the offensive line did a tremendous job. And I'll say this, Wiley right here at the right tackle position. He steps down, gets hands on that blitzing linebacker, which gives Jerick McKinnon the ability to step up and stone him. But then he kicks out and does a great job here of getting back outside and pushing Bosa up past Mahomes so he can step up in the pocket.
And again, that little bit of a wider path that Bosa has to take because Kelce releases inside of him is what allows Wiley to get those hands on and still get to Bosa in time. And you see McKinnon step up, make an incredible block in there too. But yeah, when you get those guys 10, when you get Mac and Bosa 10 yards up the field, they're at 10 yards of depth before they can turn that corner. It just creates such a great lane for Mahomes to be able to step up in the pocket and deliver this ball.
Yeah, and you've got to also give tremendous credit here to Justin Watson in his route, because he's going up against J.C. Jackson, who is a very good corner in this league. But what he does a tremendous job of right here is, watch this. We always talk about, for wide receivers, when you're running a deep route, step on the guy's toes, make him uncomfortable. So he explodes out of there with speeds. And if you make your break too early, you give that guy the ability to recover. But right here, when he steps on his toes and makes that first initial move to the out route, he gets J.C. Jackson uncomfortable and flips his hips. And right there, that's what makes the route. As he makes him flip his hips, now he's off balance, and then he takes it up the field, stays skinny right there. And again, this is an elite throw by an outstanding quarterback in our league, one of the best, who just flicks his wrists and rips it 45 yards downfield on a dime. But again, it also – you got to give credit where credit's due. And Justin Watson right here, the way in which he ran that route to create separation and get open is really what made that play.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but the NFL action is in full swing here at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And that's right, we're talking touchdowns, we're talking big plays, and even bigger payout wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. Listen, if that's not enough, DraftKings got you covered. Everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Right now, for every leg that you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. That's right. I paused a little bit because I had to make sure that was true. Right now, for every leg that you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. With bigger payouts than ever, why would you bet on football anywhere else? To make things even sweeter, you can throw down on stepped up same game parlays once per game day, all season long. That's right. All season long. Here's what you got to do. You got to go to DraftKings Sportsbook and download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KCSN to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code KCSN only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. You can see the show notes for more details. Now, let's get back to the show.
Again, it is so great to have so many amazing individuals for Patrick Mahomes to play with and throw to. Now, we move over to the Mizzou That's Who podcast, and Mizzou struggled against K-State. You know, the Chiefs just had a little bit of a rivalry against the Chargers, and obviously both fan bases enjoy beating the other. And Mizzou and K-State enjoy beating each other. K-State really, really enjoyed beating Mizzou. Now, Mizzou's taking a little bit of a sour taste in the mouth from this loss. So those big plays is what Mizzou is really going to need. Just like the Chiefs making big plays, Mizzou is going to need those big plays. Gabe Diarmond says it best. He said he doesn't trust the offense right now, and he thinks that Mizzou is going to need those big plays, you know, going into the rest of the season.
I've had a lot of people in the replies to my tweets telling me that they should fire Coach Drinkwitz, and I think that that is an incredibly rash decision. And we talked about that last week, obviously, with the Kansas State game. That soured a lot of people. I get it. I understand. That game was built up a lot with the fan base. Who knows how much it was built up within the program? I think Kansas State built it up a whole lot more than possibly Missouri did. You can see that they took that team and that fan base took a lot of pride in beating Missouri, which, fair enough. They can do that. That's something they can do, and it probably helped them propel to a win. Probably being home during a weather delay also helped. Have a little bit more resources at your disposal. But it's no excuse for drawing up a quarterback draw on third and long. Anyway, anything else?
I'm glad to see you've gotten over it, Tucker.
I've tried so hard, but you know, me having to sit in on every Kansas State podcast we do and every KU podcast we do hasn't helped me cope very well. And just hearing them talk about how Kansas is the best football team in the greater Kansas City area, which they might be, they've got the best quarterback. They do have the best quarterback. I'll say that. And then just hearing all the Kansas State people say college football playoff or bust.
Well, it now is, I guess, bust, right? I guess that's official.
That was a little dramatic. And it's not, they're not really saying, I've heard college football playoff thrown out, but they're not saying college football playoff or bust. Okay. Anything else before we move on to predictions for this game?
I think the only thing is, yeah, the only thing is kind of like the keys to that, to us maybe winning. I would say forced turnovers, because Penn State forced four. And I mean, we're going to have to get the ball from them one way or the other. And I'm not entirely confident in our defense. So I think they can force turnovers. We've watched them do it, but I think that forcing turnovers against Auburn is going to be huge for us.
I would say defensively, you better tackle a whole lot better than you did in the first half. If they tackle like that, Tank Bigsby, he's gonna have 150 yards at halftime. Offensively, I think the discouraging part from yesterday is that they had 17 points at halftime, and they really came because of two big plays. Missouri never really sustained a drive, and you should do that against those teams, right? Like, you should be getting 5 yards a carry and easy completions and just be able to go down the field 12 plays, 70 yards. So I guess as the competition ramps up, you're going to have to get big plays, because I don't trust this offense to just be able to go 12 plays, 65 yards and not shoot itself in the foot with a missed block or a hold or something like that. So I think to be able to win games like this, you're going to have like probably a couple of 40 plus yard touchdowns to score enough to do it.
Gabe Darman said it right there. The defense, you know, not making dumb plays and actually being disciplined and doing what they're supposed to do is going to be very important. And someone that did that very, very well for the Chiefs for so long is Derrick Johnson. And he sat down with the guys this week to talk about the defenses the Kansas City Chiefs have right now. And they broke down some of the better plays that the Kansas City Chiefs defense had last week against, you know, the Chargers, and some things that some fans don't usually see. And from a defensive mindset, you know, Mike DeVito and Derrick Johnson walk through what the defense is doing, where they're going, and why they make such good big plays at times.
This is clearly something, because if you're just looking at the play as it is with no sort of background information, you're thinking this is coming front side, but you see everybody reacts that way. So not only do we have great technique, but you can tell that film study, that's not – people, the guys aren't just going through the motion. They are – look at how fast everybody's out in that direction. Yeah. And, you know, when you have a guy like Derrick Johnson, when you have a guy like Bolton and Gay who have that speed and athleticism, but that smarts to know, hey, we're heading right out that way because we know this is what they like to run, you just – they're never going to get it done.
DJ, how wide do your eyes get when you see that hole open and you realize you got a shot to just?
Oh man! That's being a linebacker. That's I want to see that a lot of times throughout the game, because that lets me know that my eyes, my feet, everything's are in alignment, and I'm anticipating and reacting very fast and making big plays. And this is like heaven right about now. That's heaven right now. Let's go. Oh yeah, yeah. It's me and you, and it's not no fair Darshan either, because everybody's coming. This is
right,
all our guys, we're coming, so you got to come, you got to go straight up with me.
Nice. Great job. All right, now moving on to the next year. This is going to be a series of three plays, and this is other than a play that we're about to get to here pretty quick here, this is probably the biggest series of three plays. They got the Chargers backed up on their own 9-yard line here, and the Chargers are going to try and get themselves out of the hole. The Chiefs defense comes up with a stop. We're going to highlight George Karloftis here and the way that he reads this play out, adjusting his path, getting in the throwing lane, taking this away. The flexibility of the man, that is exceptional. To bend like that off the edge, change the path, playing the run here.
That's a rookie. Yeah, that's a rookie. I mean, that's a really heads up smart play.
Yeah, I have not seen a lot of.
I have not seen. Yeah, because everything is telling you until the last minute to bend down the line. I mean, look at the whole flow. It's fast to the open side. It looks like that this is something that they do when those I-backs run to the open side. And he just, I mean, just the ability to quick react and get upfield. That's how you stop those play. I mean, that he's the key guy for that play.
Now, if you want to hear the full breakdown of the defense or the offense or any of the other shows that you've heard on this show, you can check them out on Kansas City Sports Network. It has all of these shows, K-State, KU, Mizzou, Chiefs, whatever you're a fan of, right there at your fingertips to check them all out. Kansas City Sports Network and Kansas City Sports Network U for all your college needs. Well, we move ahead to look at the Chiefs versus Colts this Sunday and the matchup. Everyone thinks it's going to be a walk in the park for the Kansas City Chiefs because the Colts just got thumped last week. They did not score at all, not even a field goal. So the Chiefs are going into Indy and they should just roll right over them. But a game like this, it might be getting overlooked a little bit. And the Colts might be very upset that they just got a fat zero on the scoreboard and they might be out for some blood.
Nick, what do you see happening on Sunday between the Chiefs and Colts?
Man, I honestly think that the Colts and Matt Ryan, Jonathan Taylor, they might go off. I think this could be, as weird as that sounds, I know they got blanked. Anytime a team gets blanked, you know, a couple of weeks ago or whenever that was, what did they do? They tie, then got blanked, or was it blanked or tie, then blank?
Tie, then blank.
Oh. Listen, there's some pissed off human beings over there. So I think they're looking to take out some aggression this week. So I think it's if you're this, what's the over under? I'd take the over.
Because I think and a half.
Indianapolis will put up some points this week, especially, you know, they're going to try and run the ball with Willie Gay, the run stopping linebacker, not being there. And Jonathan Taylor is their workhorse. And then, you know, Matt Ryan will be able to slide in beneath that. So I'm thinking it'll be 31-41 in favor of the boys in white and red.
There's been some movement on the line and the over-under. It's at 50.5 now for the over-under, and the line is now at 5.5 in favor for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. It started at 3.5 and then got up to 7, and now it's back to 5. Wow.
It's projected that Michael Pittman will play. Alec Pierce will play. Those were two guys that did not play for them against the Jaguars, which were two pretty big pieces of their offense. Shaq Leonard is projected to play. So is Zaire Franklin. Another big piece, Grover Stewart, I believe is his last name. I just know his first name. Just call him by Grover. Dude's a stud. He'll be active and playing as well as anticipated. So they're getting a lot of guys back off of the injury report, and that could make this game a little bit closer. Nick, as you mentioned, man, we've talked about this a lot on KC Sports Network, on KCSN Update. You don't really want to mess with a team that's been backed into a corner like the way that they have, or been embarrassed as they have. So it's a little worrisome, I think. And this could be potentially a trap game. I know I've seen a lot of people throw that term out there. I don't really necessarily – well, in the NFL, it's every team's a good team, so it doesn't feel like there should be a trap game. But this could be a trap game. I can't remember who the Chiefs have next week. So if anyone remembers that would be
Sunday at noon. Also, it's a trap game, by the way. Sunday at noon. Bucks. Sunday noon is a trap game. Sunday noon is a total trap game. I promise.
Sunday
you.
Noon after 10 days of rest. I believe I saw a tweet. I think it was from Matt Derrick. That was about the Chiefs after a mini bye. I believe Andy Reid is only 5-5 after a mini bye. So which was very shocking to me when I saw that because of how good Andy Reid is after a regular bye week. So Chiefs do play the Buccaneers after this week. So yeah, that's that's this is looking like it could be a trap game. It has all the makings for it.
He's just not buying it. He is not buying it at all.
Listen, I could get really fired up and I could have all the motivation in the world. And if I step out on the field against a team that's significantly better than me and has all the things going for it to not drop games like this with the schedule they have, I don't think this game is going to be close.
Well, BJ thinks the Chiefs are just going to blow Indy out of the water, and he sat down with Nate Taylor this week to talk about the five burning questions heading into the Chiefs versus the Colts game this Sunday. Now, Nate answered all these questions. You can check out all five of those answers, but Nate right now talks about what the biggest thing that the Colts are going to have to do and what the biggest challenge the Chiefs have facing the Colts. It is going to be interesting, and some guys are definitely going to have to step up with Willie Gay out. But Nate gives his perspective on what the Colts are going to do that is going to challenge the Chiefs this week.
The interesting thing about this game against the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday is Jonathan Taylor. You probably need about 2 to 3 guys to bring him down consistently to not let him, you know, sort of break the game open with a long run. Obviously, he's super effective in the red zone, although the Colts did not score any points against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think Nick Bolton will play a lot of Mike and or Will. I think Leo Chenal will still play the Sam linebacker role. I don't think you need to make things more complicated for the rookie, as he's obviously getting, you know, more snaps as the season goes along. But yeah. Darius Harris is the backup Mike. So there's a version of this where he plays the Mike position, even though without Willie, you know, you're going to have Nick call the plays from the Will spot, play the Will spot on certain passing downs, because he's probably their best coverage and just open field tackler among this group. And then Elijah Lee is someone that I'll be interested in too, because, you know, maybe he's someone you use on nickel if you want to keep things simple with Harris on base personnel. I'm interested to see what you guys think as I watch more videos and try to get an insight, because it's so hard when they've only played 2 linebackers basically the whole season. It's been fascinating, but this is where I would suggest, if I was in the coaches meeting, is to say, hey, let's make sure Nick Bolton's on the field at all times.
Right.
And if you're a Chiefs fan, you know, hope that he stays healthy. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, Darius Harris has been in the system the longest, and he should be capable of being a spot starter, and you don't have a ton of drop-off. Of course, you're not going to replace that athleticism. Of course, you're not going to replace possibly some interceptions or some tackles for loss. But don't give up the big gains, and then use, you know, Elijah Lee and Leo Chenal in spot situations, given whatever the Indianapolis Colts presents from maybe, you know, multiple tight end sets.
Yeah, Nate, I think you bring up a great point that it's not necessarily – it doesn't have to be replacing player for player and trying to replicate his skill set, where you can – mix in different defensive coverages, different personnel groupings to try and achieve your goal of slowing down an opposing offense. And I like the idea of Darius Harris being that guy. He is probably the closest to being the most athletic. Darius Harris can run, and you get up on that turf in Indy. Jonathan Taylor is an absolute stud, but you get somebody that can meet him at the edge, who can beat a block in the backfield. I think Darius Harris is the best case of all those guys that you just mentioned. So that'll definitely be something to watch about. And Brian Cook, you know, going big nickel, or, you know, going with some bigger bodies in there, that's a really good point too. And it's not like Steve Spagnuolo, if this was resolved back in July, it's not like they haven't had time to plan what they wanted to do schematically for a chunk of the season, knowing that Willie Gay was going to miss some time. And so this is not necessarily scrambling to figure out what they're going to do. The Chiefs organization, normally the NFL does a pretty good job of communicating ahead of time, or at least giving heads up that they know that something is going to be coming, even if they don't know exactly when.
Well, the NFL may have told the Chiefs beforehand that Willie Gay is going to be out, but we will have to see what the defense looks like this week and how the Chiefs are going to adjust for the 3 weeks after that. So this has been the Best of Everything presented by Charlie Hustle. I'm your host, Michaela Bennett, and thanks for tuning in.